Welcome to another episode of the Headmasters Podcast. I'm John DePoe, Headmaster at Kingdom Preparatory Academy in Lubbock, Texas. We are bringing you an episode today where we will share a meditation on Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Before we get into that commentary, I'd like to take a moment to share a few announcements with you. We are wrapping up this school year. There's not a lot left. But coming up on Wednesday, May 8th, is our jeans and t-shirt day on campus. And we'll be having a pizza lunch that day. So make sure you get all that ordered and set up. We have fifth grade fun day on Friday, May 10th. A community volleyball tournament on Saturday, May 11th. On May 13th, the last Monday of the school year, we will have our first grade American Hero speeches. And then on Wednesday, May 15th, is the last day of our grammar school for the 2023-2024 school year. And then on May 17th is the last day of our upper school, and we will have our graduation ceremony that night. So a lot of exciting things are happening, and with that, we will wrap up the announcements and jump into Proverbs 22:6. Let's take a moment to dwell on Proverbs 22:6. In the English Standard Version, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Perhaps you've heard this verse before. For Christian educators, this is one of our standard bearers. We quote it often in our meetings with parents and with our staff. It is a reminder of the importance of educating children properly. It's a significant verse, and it does teach about the responsibility that parents have in raising their kids. And I'd like to take a few minutes to go a little deeper into the meaning of this proverb. It begins with the imperative verb chanok. This verb definitely has the meaning to train up. But in some contexts, it is also used in the Old Testament to mean to dedicate. For example, in 2 Chronicles 7:5, after describing the sacrifices done beforehand, this same word is used to say that Solomon dedicated the house of God. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 5, this same word is used to describe the act of dedicating a new house. It's even used to describe the dedication of an altar in Numbers 7:10 and city walls in Nehemiah 12:27. This word, chanok, is the same root word for Hanukkah, which is named for the Jewish holiday involving the rededication of the Second Temple. Think about it. Train up a child also has the connotation of consecrating or dedicating your child to the Lord, just like one might dedicate or consecrate a home, their city walls, an altar, or even the temple to God. When we read these words, they shouldn't make us think of training up a child like you train your dog to do tricks or train your dog to follow rote behaviors. This child is someone to whom we are dedicating ourselves. This person is a holy object of the Lord's that we have been entrusted to steward, to protect, and to raise up in the right way. In its adjectival form, chanik describes trained, tried, experienced men, such as in Genesis 14:14, where Abram leads forth 318 trained men from his house to save Lot and his household from some regional bandits. This adds another important dimension to thinking about what it means to raise up a child. That is, at the end of the educating process, we are supposed to make them into trained and experienced young men and women. Christian education done rightly is not about sheltering kids. They should not be sheltered from dangerous and different ideas, or else they won't be tried and experienced, ready for battle. It also means we should not shelter kids from difficulties and healthy struggles that grow them through the challenging processes. To do that would shirk our responsibility to train them up, like a warrior ready to meet the enemy in battle. Of course, preparing them requires healthy struggle and finding age-appropriate times to show them the enemy's plans. But what is not allowed is to avoid this altogether. If we refuse to train up our children to become trained, experienced warriors, we aren't heeding the full meaning of this verse. The word commonly translated as child is na'ar. Is this a young child? A teenager? A newborn? A young adult? Yes. In the Hebrew, it has a range of applications that can refer to all of these stages of life. In Exodus 2:6, this word is used to refer to an infant. In 1 Samuel 1:24, it uses the same word to refer to a weaned child. While it is used to refer to an adolescent in Genesis 37:2 and a young man of marriageable age in Genesis 34:19. In short, it refers to all of the formative years of a young person's life. In the Talmud, it says that the child referred to in this proverb can mean anyone up to the age of 24. As we think about the ramifications for applying this verse, it should bring to mind that the command to train up a child is not something that is just for the grammar school years, or it isn't just about the teenage years. This is part of the parents' duty to see their children through all of their young lives, from infancy to young adulthood. Sure, how we do it will look differently at these different stages of their lives, but it undoubtedly means that we have a responsibility to continually raise up the child from infancy to childhood, into early adolescence and then the teenage years, and even into young adulthood up through the young 20s. We have a God-given obligation to raise them in this way. In what way? It says, in the way that he should go. The Hebrew phrase literally means according to his way. But in the context of the book of Proverbs, which is largely about wise living, his way can be understood to mean according to how his way ought to be. It would be completely foreign to the ancient Hebrew mindset to suggest that this verse is teaching a Disney-esque theme that the right way is necessarily to follow one's own heart. In essence, the book of Proverbs, and really throughout the entire Bible, there are only two ways. One way is the way of wisdom that involves setting one's heart on the law of the Lord and bringing one's behavior in line with God's law. The other way is the way of foolishness, which is any behavior that is not aligned with the law of the Lord. The way of the fool can be self-centered, money-centered, works-centered, or anything that is really not God-centered. Essentially, the two paths look like this. One is a life directed to worshiping the one true God. The other is a life that worships idols. In the New Testament, Jesus describes two paths. One is the easy and wide path, and that path leads to destruction. The other is a narrow and hard way, which leads to eternal life. It is this narrow and hard way that parents are commanded to train up their children to follow. Here's the deal with the narrow and hard way. Your children aren't going to find that path on their own. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that children, really like all of us, are sheep who have gone astray. On their own, they are not going to find the right path. Indeed, this is undoubtedly one of the chief reasons that God has entrusted parents with the responsibility to train up their children in the way that they should go. God's plan is for children to have godly parents, to show them the right way, and not to be victims of their own foolish inclinations. When parents decide to give children the freedom to choose their own religious beliefs, or let children decide what kind of school they want to attend, or to pick other significant factors that form their spiritual and moral lives, parents are shirking one of the most important duties that God has given them. We must not assume that our children are fully formed, spiritually mature, and God-seeking. It is our job, along with the work of the Holy Spirit, to cultivate these characteristics in them. Leaving this up to the children to decide for themselves is like dropping them in the middle of the wilderness without a compass or a map, and letting them choose how they think it would be best to survive and come home. God's design for the family is that parents would equip their children with skills, tools, and resources so that when they are fully trained up, they will know how to navigate the wilderness. The proverb ends with this promise: even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This promise, like the rest of the promises found in the book of Proverbs, shouldn't be interpreted as a formula for guaranteed success, a step-by-step recipe that must yield its product. As free beings, no process can deterministically dictate the ultimate outcome of human behavior. What this proverb, as well as others found throughout the Bible's wisdom literature, is saying is that it is generally true that when you train up your child in the way that he should go, he will not depart from it when he grows older. While the thought that if we follow a specific procedure or employ a specific technique will oblige other people and even God to do exactly what we want, this isn't what the Bible teaches about our relationship to other people or to God. In fact, that tendency to trust in following rules or techniques is just another way to practice idolatry instead of loving God and following His law. When we train up our children to know God and to love His law, the most likely outcome is that they will persevere in this way as they grow up. But this is not like raising your child to share your political views or to follow your favorite sports team. More than simply enculturating and habituating students to follow Christian practices, their perseverance is ultimately due to God Himself. He is the reason we exist. His law prescribes the way we were created to live. When we raise our students in this way, they will continue in it because it points them to the one for whom they were made to love. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The next time a pastor or Christian educator or fellow believer quotes this verse in support of Christian education, I hope you remember these additional layers of meaning in these words. Our call to train is our dedication or consecration of our children to the Lord, and also connotes conferring to them experience and training akin to that of a warrior. The parent's task pertains to all the stages of youth, from infancy to young adulthood. The way is the way of wisdom, the love of the law of the Lord, or as Jesus put it, the narrow and hard way. The process is not deterministic, but it generally accords with human nature, and those who see God's truth and are fulfilled by it typically persevere in it as they grow up. Parents, what we are doing is difficult. Some days, it seems easier just to do what everyone else is doing. But I want to encourage you to continue with the labor at hand. As Paul tells the Galatians, do not grow weary in doing good, for in a time we shall reap a harvest if we do not give up. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Headmasters Podcast. As we wrap up, I just want to remind you about a few more announcements that we have. Our KPA Jeans and T-Shirt Day on Wednesday, May 8th. We will have our 5th grade fun day on Friday, May 10th. Our 1st grade American Hero presentations take place on Monday, May 13th. May 15th is our last day of grammar school, and there will be a noon dismissal for the grammar school, and then Friday is it, May 17th, that is graduation, and our last day of upper school classes, so the end is near. I really appreciate everybody who has been contributing to the school this year, for all of our parents, our students, our staff. Just thank you so much for everything you are doing, And we will still have a couple more episodes of the Headmasters podcast, and then we'll be looking at season 3 to kick off in August. So I look forward to that, and thank you for listening.